voting for each other here.
Okay, we'll do. Arlene Olson?
Yes.
Charlene Hoblin?
Yes.
Jackie?
Yes. Motion carried. Moving on to the presentation, the 2019 Youth Leadership Institute Essay Contest. We had students that were selected to attend the Youth Leadership Institute Essay Contest for Sadie Nosu, Nikhil Shangan, Lindsay Holmberg, and we have an honorable mention of Katie Yetchmanoff. I'd like to thank you all for your participation. Moving on, do we have any public comments? We'll start in Sandpoint.
Okay.
Hi, Jackie. It's Tiffany. So just a couple comments. I was looking for the packets online. I know we talked about making them available on the website. I couldn't find it. Honestly, I haven't looked for it before because they always used to get emails to me. So just looking for where that will be available for future meetings. I'm excited to hear about the work getting started on the social studies and language arts curriculum, and I'm hoping that the tribe will be invited to be a part of those committees as well. Like we were in the past, so that we can really focus on some of those cultural assets and resources, especially since these are two areas of curriculum that really lend themselves to cultural values. Did want to comment that I was a little disappointed on the balance of games between volleyball and wrestling. I kind of felt like wrestling got a short end of the stick this year, not very many matches. And then one last comment. I got to sit by Jamie with APIA on the airplane. She came out for her annual trip to the community to help students work on FAFSA and ACCI placer tests. And she expressed frustration that the FAFSA seemed to be blocked from the school website and that they had to use a lot of workarounds and utilizing student or teacher laptops to work on the FAFSA, and that they had difficulty in doing the ACCI placer, and I think they actually ended up having to leave the school and go down to the APIA office to do the ACCI placer test on their internet in the city building, which, of course, was quite slow. So she was wondering if there was anything that could be done in the future to reinstate access to the FAFSA, to implement the ACCI placer so that, because all students attending the UA system need to take ACCI placer, and maybe in the future, she's like, do the teachers have, like, override capabilities so that they can help do things like this, especially when they have people from out of town coming in to help students. And that's the end of my comment.
Thank you, Tiffany. Any other public comments at that point? Hearing none, is there any public comments here in T-Post? Gary Lamar?
Yeah, I that's fine. Over here, we were able to complete almost all of our FAFSA on October 1st in 2.5 hours. We had a hand again, and 5 of the 7 that we have seniors have already gotten them back. And as well, we were able to complete in our system, we had 8 people take the SAT without hindrance, and we were able to do that. Jamie did not come over here, but we were still able to complete it. And so anyway, we had those done as well. and eight SAT. We have those back as well. And then also we have probably, I guess, about six applications already put in to apply for colleges and have received back. So we're not having, I guess, a lot of the same problems here that you might be having over there at all. Because ours did just fine. Like I said, we were entirely through the past in 2.5 hours. Thank you.
Any other public comments? This is Lynette. And, along with Tiffany, I wasn't impressed with the wrestling schedule. I know in the past they were able to go to Anchorage, and one of the comments about them traveling to Anchorage was that they didn't get to wrestle that much, and it was a lot of money to send them there. But, I mean, one option would be is to let them raise some money so that they can go to this tournament, because when they go to Anchorage, our students have the opportunity to wrestle with the tournament, and they had some exhibition matches along with if we could look into that, maybe raise part of the money so that we can go raise a stadium portion. Yeah, like Tiffany said, that's not as much as the volunteer kids did. Any public comments on the phone, public?
None from Akatan.
Any public comments in Falls Pass? Seeing no more further public comments, we'll move on to student reports. We have a few students here from their ASA trip here in Kipo. You guys like to do your report? You have four schools, area, and rural town. My name is Nicole. This conference in Palmer was amazing. The conference went very smoothly. Resolution. I learned a lot about the issues that students of Alaska are concerned about. It was definitely the best basketball conference I've been to so far, and I'm hoping to go to the next one. So thank you for making it possible.
My name is Victoria Daniel from Sophomore at the Kinko School. I would like to thank the district for sending me there to attend. Attending off of a conference academic. The other thing that delegates and I met with our working team to discuss resolutions that positively or negatively affect our state. And those resolutions will then be discussed and voted upon in the general conference. Leadership and public speaking are some of the skills that we improved on at this conference. Is there enough experience and I hope to attend the next conference?
W. Carter's report first, if he's not here. I'd like to thank the district for this awesome opportunity to experience my first ASOG. I wanted to go to ASOG to experience how student government works. It was great to see students leading the whole meeting. I learned that it's important to put both sides of the topic before deciding on something. I also learned how parliamentary procedure works. And how it is used, how to use it. It was great to learn more about the parliamentary procedures so I can understand it and use it in my future. Buzz Carter, this one's mine.
Hi, my name is Kayla Calvert. This is my third All-Talk, so thank you guys for sending. It was an amazing experience. All-Talk is a great way to see all the statewide school issues. We talked about one resolution in particular that really stuck out to me. This is what all teaches people to be able to graduate in cultural aware and not, and without having to run in circles to get a yes or no. This resolution is passed. Does anyone say to the students about their AFA report? Okay, moving on, we have the Youth Leadership Institute. Lindsay is there to report.
They asked not to do this at this time. We'll do it next meeting, Logan and Paige.
That's you, Lindsay. You have something you want to say? Come on up here and just say something, just like, hey, it was a great time. Awesome, good job. You're kind of quiet, so maybe you can come up here. You were amazing there, by the way. Just have a seat right there. Oh, right there, by the phone. Yeah. Perfect. Okay. Okay. Okay.
I'd like to say thank you guys for letting me go to YOI. One of my favorite things about it was getting to meet new friends and how becoming a better leader is, I don't know, yeah.
All right. Good job. Thank you.
Hey, Lindsay, I'm glad you were able to meet the other students and weren't able to go because of the weather. First item is the Alaska Association of School Board Annual Conference.
Okay, I could start. This is Hillary. Okay, first off, I'd like to welcome new board members, Carla, Rita, and Carlene. I look forward to working with you guys this year. And then also, I'd like to say that we're sorry that Sadie and Nikita and Jackie and Arlene didn't make it out to the conference because of weather and plane service. So that was they didn't get to come out. On Thursday, we had our experienced board members boot camp, and Michelle Brooks was one of our speakers in there, and she was very interesting. She was talking about our students, the power of transformation, lifelong learners, lifetime learners, and also building relationships between teachers and students. And then a process of transformation is respect, and then self-awareness. And then also she says, like, when our students come into our schools and they're in kindergarten and they're eager to learn, we got to make sure that we keep on having our kids eager to learn. A lot of them will lose interest by the time they're in the third grade. So we got to go and just keep on trying to find ways to push our students and have them excited to come to school and to learn. Now, the one thing that I did is I went to Lindsay's closing up at YLI, and I sat there and listened to the students talk just to see what they wanted to bring back to their communities. And the big thing that the students would like to see in their schools is they want the elders in there more. They want to hear the elder stories. They look up to the elders. They have respect for the elders. And they would like to see the elders in their school more and learn their cultures. A lot of them said culture is very important to them. And then they were talking, some of them were from boarding schools, and the boarding schools were saying that they felt the students in the public schools had more support than they did. And they said, you know, there's some challenges they have to do when they're in communities with boarding schools, like different events and stuff. They just don't, have a feeling like they're, that they get a lot of support from the community. And then another thing was language. They want to learn and keep the language in our schools. And then the culture activities, elders coming to school doing native activities. They need more native speakers and more books. And then they said the number one thing also is the students need to feel safe and supported. And they said ways to make them feel safe is no negative comments in their communities from members. And then another way is resources from elders and school staff. Now, when Lindsay was working on her program, she worked with the Unalaska students. And they did their board, but in the end of the conference, Lindsay did her report herself because Unalaska had to leave and they caught their plane to go to Dutch Harbor. So Lindsay did the report, and she did a very good job. I was very proud of Lindsay. She did very well there, and she did her board and everything. So it was a really good conference. I enjoyed everything about the conference. There was lots of stuff for us to learn, but the one thing that I took away from this conference was going up there and listening to the students. It's just, we could learn so much from our students and just sit there and listen to them, what they would like to see from us as board members and how we like to shape their education for them. Thank you.
This is Carlin. I also went to the same conference. We did boot camp for new board members for the first day and a half, and then a few other sessions along the way. It was good learning about how to be a board member, what to do as a board member, what your responsibilities and stuff are. We learned a lot of stuff on resolutions. There was so much stuff there. I guess the one thing I really took away from a lot of it was listening to your students and also having them feel more safe in their schools and their environments, trusting their staff, the staff and teachers, and I guess that's about all. Like, I don't know. There was so much. I just didn't have time to write it down. I came back and went to another meeting. So. But it was very informative.
Thank you, Carla. Anyone else made it to the conference?
This is Patrick. If I may, I'm always interested in the legal side, and so I really enjoyed you know, hearing from Jermaine Bennegan and Owens, and also John Seedorf's firm. They always have informative topics around such things as personnel. Those are always very good. And then also there was another noteworthy session that had to do with CTE and, you know, opportunities for students moving down the road. And probably one of the biggest things that I get out of these any conference is the opportunity to network with people from other districts, be they board members or other superintendents that are in attendance, and figure out ways that we can work together do more for our students. So that's it for me. Excuse me, Jackie. Do you want Tiffany to report under this as well?
Yeah. You send it as a Alaska Social School Board member.
Okay, so I attended the conference as well. Unfortunately, missed the first day where I was supposed to be leading the Get Ready Govern session due to weather, but was able to attend the main conference on Friday through Sunday. I presented on the American Indian and Alaska Native Council work that the National School Boards Association is doing during the roundtable sessions. I also presented with Timmy Tullis and John Cedor during the President's Workshop on the critical importance of the role of the board and the superintendent in maintaining those lines of communication. Also, during the roundtable sessions, got to sit with a couple of students from the Copper River School District and the SIPSA School District, and they talked about restorative practices in SIPSA being, we asked what were some of the successes in their schools, and the SIPSA students said that by far the restorative practices that they're using in their school have just been amazing, and she really encourages everybody to look at implementing restorative practices. The girl from Copper River talked about their Aunties After School program, where women come into the school and work with students, whether it's on crafting or whatnot, being mentors towards students. There's also a program happening in CHEVAC where kids cook meals every Wednesday, and so right after school they start cooking meals, and then the families are all invited to come eat dinner every Wednesday at the school with their students. So it was really developing community relations within that community. Some of the needs that they talked about are needs that I think we really see in this district as well. They really wanted more life skills classes, and technology was an issue for the Copper River student, and how snags and technology impacted their education. I never got a copy of the agenda. There's not one out for the public, so I wasn't sure if you wanted me to report on the AASB meeting with the board as well, or if you'd like me to do that later.
Yeah, that is the agenda item
is the
National
Board.
Since you're there, would you like
to... Okay, so, sure, I can just roll right into that. So, AASB, the leadership, I wanted to thank Brenda and Hillary for attending the Life Size District Forums on Saturday afternoon. That's always really beneficial for the AASB board members, because that's where we get together with all the other rural and REA districts to talk about priorities for our school district. So thank you, Hillary and Brenda, for attending that and really going through the resolutions and identifying what some of the priorities are. Clarence, Daniel, and I shared those priorities with the board on Monday. Our priorities for the legislative session coming up, there are five: sustainable, adequate funding for public education, providing culturally responsive education that includes language, place, and relevance, embedded practices to support the whole student and whole school in being trauma-engaged, really focusing on that engaged part, not just the informed part, effective pathways for career, technical ed, and post-secondary training or employment, preparing students entering the school ready to learn, and increasing retention, recruitment, and training of highly effective teachers, which was a highly contentious issue during the resolutions process on Sunday morning, which I think we came to a good solution in the final resolution that was passed by the board. Did want to point out that the new leadership is Star Marcet from Anchorage as the Secretary Treasurer. Katie Oliver from Kodiak is the president-elect. Mike Swain has taken over as president from Bristol Bay, and I'm in as the immediate past president at this time. Would you like me to roll into the NSBA report, or do you like me to pause for questions?
You could go right to the NSBA report.
Okay, so the National School Board Association met in October in Columbia, South Carolina. The first day of the meeting, Tom Gensel announced his retirement in May. So ever since then, the executive committee, which I sit on, has been meeting weekly to determine how we're going to proceed with the search. The search committee has been finalized, and President Beth Branham will be working on publishing that soon. I am a part of that committee. The goal is to have a replacement for Tom selected and announced by the annual conference time in April in Chicago. California has announced its intent to suspend its membership in NSBA as of June or July, one of those months. However, there have been a number of conversations about what they'd like to see happen to reconsider their membership. And giving information that I've received, I believe that they will be reinstating their membership, but they haven't announced anything. The Governance Review Committee, which is different from the Governance Committee of NSBA, continues to meet and talk about the appropriate size of the board and what kind of organization they want the National School Boards Association to be, whether it's just a clearinghouse for information or whether it's going to be the actual legislative branch at a national level for school boards. The Pacific region for NSBA has been very clear that they want the National School Boards Association to be the federal branch for local school boards in Washington, D.C., advocating for local school boards, for funding, for education policy, and really making sure that the leadership of the organization is dynamic and effective at that sort of advocacy. We were able to visit the Lexington 2 Innovation Center while in Columbia. Absolutely amazing. I had a conversation with Dina Mitchell of Anchorage. I'm under the impression the King Career Center in Anchorage is similar to it, but they had a number of things in the Innovation Center, including in like all the classes in the Innovation Center, you could walk out with some sort of either college degree, associate's degree. Many of the students were getting associate's degrees before they graduated from high school, career certifications. They had cosmetology, people learning how to do pedicures, manicures, doing hair, woodshop. Woodshop was building frames for the electrical classes. They were coming out ready to go right into electrical, what's the journeyman? The word
lineman.
Engine repair, body repair, pre-med, sports pre-med, all sorts of like TV production, computer animation, all sorts of stuff. So pretty impressive. Dina Mitchell tells me again, King Career Center, she's offered a tour for me, so I'm hopeful that maybe at some point we can get a tour of the King Career Center and see if there's any way to, like, I would hope to see a partnership possible just so that we can get some of those experiences for some of the students in Aleutians East. One thing I did forget to mention when I was talking about AASB is next year the conference is at the Captain Cook, so we'll be returning back there. And for winter boardmanship for AASB in December, they will be introducing Law Day as part of winter boardmanship, and CEDOR will be leading that work on Law Day in December. I think that's all I have.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Tiffany on her report from the AASB and the NSBA?
If I could just comment, first of all, that is very exciting about the King Career Center. And
I know Lower Yukon has a relationship with the King Career Center. They've actually purchased a hotel there so that they can take students there for nine-week sessions, for which districts could possibly choose to work with Lower Yukon and send kids to that for nine-week sessions. So that's a nice piece. The other thing I just wanted, just in case anybody wants to get on and see the school board packet online, it is under school board, board packets. And so if anybody wants to jump on there for the rest of the meeting, and you guys can grab it there. So anyway, that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you.
They keep moving. I think it's too tough. So. You're next.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. My board report is in the form of a board connect. This is a format that I use for communication, it's been pretty well received. You know, there's some interesting stuff in there. I invite those of you that are here to take a look at the attendance component there. I know it's a topic that comes up here in particular, so I'm just going to kind of cherry pick that one out of there. You know, some of the professional development that we've had with regard to, you know, results from the school climate and connectedness survey and our MAP data leadership team. So I don't know if anyone has any questions about my board report.
All right,
thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone like to have regarding the correspondence in their packet? Hearing none, we'll move on to the business manager's report.
Thank you, Madam President, members of the school board, Superintendent Meyer. First, I'd like to congratulate the new board members. Very exciting. You have my report in your packet, and the only thing I would add is we have one student who won't be participating in close-up from King Cove, so the budget estimate will probably drop by about $4,000, and we will have a student participating from Akaten. So we'll have students from three schools, which is pretty awesome. And that's all I have.
Thank you. Anyone have any questions for Dave?
If I could just make a comment. Dave, thank you very much for yet another clean audit. Greatly appreciated the outstanding job that you and Sherilyn do on the business side of the house.
Thank you.
Hearing no other questions, do I need a motion to accept the current financial report?
I'll make a motion to accept the current financial report. This is Rayette. This is
I'll
Carla.
Second. This is Hillary.
Somebody.
And second from Hillary to accept the current financial report. Can I get a roll call, please, Jane?
Yes. Charlene Hoblet?
Yes.
Rayette?
Yes.
Rita?
Yes.
Arlene Wilson?
Yes.
Hillary?
Yes.
Carla?
Yes.
Jackie?
Yes. Motion carries. Move on to the department report. The first item is activities report from Paul Barker.
Thank you, Madam President, and members of the board. And I'd just like to congratulate the new members of the board. Welcome on. It's exciting. I don't have anything to add to my report other than to congratulate the King Cove Rookies on their third straight Southwest Regional Championship, first place, and a first ballot seed to state. So congratulations to Coach Lamar and the King Cove Rookies. Unless there are any other questions from the board, I have none.
Hello, Paul, this is Annette Nakatan. Did you get the mats?
Yes, Annette. Thank you very much for coordinating that with Trident and Coach Gadotti. We have them here in Sandpoint, and we really appreciate all the hard work you guys did. Thank you.
Well, thank Kevin and the kids. They did all the heavy lifting.
I will definitely do that. Yeah, thanks, Annette.
You're welcome.
And then I have a comment for Mr. Barker. I just want to thank you for starting the archery. I hope we get that in our schools. And I hope King Cove finds somebody interested. I see that in your report. Thank you.
Hearing no other comments, thank you. Move on to the special education report.
Good evening. You all have my report in the packet. Hi, Jackie. So I don't have anything further to add. I just want to wish everybody happy Thanksgiving.
Are there any questions for Hillary Seifert on her report? Hearing none, we'll move on. Thank you.
Thanks.
Moving on to technologist Kirk Hellbauer.
Congratulations to the new board members. Thank you very much for the time. I do have one additional add to my report. The satellite dishes at both district office and Sandpoint High School have been moved back to the previous satellite. Our internet service provider tried to move them to a new satellite, which was supposedly better, faster, and it had some issues. So they've currently moved them back and have resolved most of the issues at these two sites. There are still ongoing issues at King Cove. They were attempting to have someone come out on Monday, today, this afternoon, but are unable to get flights out due to chartering for the different sites. So the current plan that they have right now, they're still attempting to get out tomorrow, but they may have a local resource that they also may send to the site to try and get it online. They prefer to have their own site since it's going to be a full satellite move, or I'm sorry, their own technician since it's a full satellite move. But if it's not possible, they will attempt to get the local resource, and if that's not possible, then latest will be Monday. If there is no other additions to my report, so if you have any questions, let me know.
Any questions? I just have to since you guys have moved back to that old satellite, is that a possibility for King Cove if they can't get this issue resolved to be moved back to the old satellite as well?
Yes, that's what a technician would be doing if we were out there today, is to get you back to that satellite so that we can get it online. So that's definitely the plan, and actually I believe at this point now we're no longer even talking about moving. So they're going to move everyone else except for us and one other client off of that satellite. So the primary reason that we were moving off is because it was oversubscribed, and one of their clients that they had on that same satellite has increased their bandwidth, so they were trying to move as many as they could off. Since ours was working fine on that satellite without the additional features on there, they're going to move it back and not try and move us again. We're going to stay on there with the one other client.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Moving to new business, M.A., that's my senior principal. Is there a motion?
I'd like to make a motion for the Sandpoint seniors to go on their trip as long as the funding is available.
This is Rita. I'd like to second that.
There's a motion by Hillary about to approve the Sandpoint senior trip depending on funding available, second by Rita. I'd like to ask the seniors that's their proposal.
You want them to do their trip proposal? You want them to do their trip proposal? Is that what you
can?
It would, for the public, would be nice if they could just run through a quick their proposals, since not everyone has access to
it. A quick notes version.
I'm Justin Mobeck, and I'm here on the class of 2020, and our very brief. We plan on starting our senior trip on the 10th, leaving out of Sandpoint, and returning on April 23rd to Anchorage, and then back to Sandpoint on the 22nd. This is a big opportunity for a lot of us because we have students in our class that are looking into careers such as cosmetology, business, industry, architecture, medicine, entertainment, and education. While we are down in L.A., and we are going to be able, hopefully, to tour one of the colleges for one of the students in our class. We will be going in, checking out some of the amusement parks in L.A., such as Disneyland, and then we head off to Monterey Bay, and then off to San Francisco.
Yeah, and we're all just really looking forward to experiencing this new culture outside of rural Alaska. We all enjoyed close-up very much last year. We had a great time. The culture is amazing. There's a bunch of new stuff that we've never even seen or heard before. And we're just looking for the opportunity to do it again.
Thank you. Do you have any questions?
Red?
Yes.
Hillary?
Yes.
Carla?
Yes.
Carlene Hoblett?
Yes.
Carlene Wilson?
Yes.
Rita?
Yes.
Jackie?
Yes. Motion carried.
Thank you all so much for your consideration.
Have fun. Moving on to
thank you.
The school board. Yes. Would you like to take that motion on the floor? A
Make a motion to student representative.
Yeah, make a motion to select a student representative within the draw.
I make a motion to elect a student representative to the school board.
This is Hillary, I'll second.
A motion by Rhett and by Hillary to elect a student representative to the school board. Pat, do you have those names to do the...
I do, Madam President. Would you like to acknowledge the three students before we draw that were finalists, or would you like me to read them?
I can do that. We have three students.
Okay.
Application, Nikita Fannigan, applicant. Carter Utech of King Cove, and Logan Thompson of Sandpoint. Who have all submitted an application.
Okay, may we conduct the drawing?
Yes, please.
Got a student?
Yeah,
I was going to have picked from the students, and there happens to be one left. So the pressure's all on you, my friend. There's a couple stuck together here. That wasn't supposed to happen. So...
That one. Carter.
And that would be Carter Utech.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo!
So Carter Utech was selected, so we need to confirm the appointment of Carter Utech. Can we make a motion? Or just a roll call? I'm not sure how that works.
A motion to confirm.
Okay. I make a motion to confirm our representative
on the board. This is Hillary, I'll second.
We have a motion from Arlene to confirm whether you set as our school students. Representative to the school board, second by Hillary. Can we get a roll call, please?
Yes. Carla?
Yes.
Arlene Wilson?
Yes.
Rayette?
Yes.
Hillary?
Yes.
Rita?
Yes.
Carlene Hoblett?
Yes.
Jackie?
Motion carries. Congratulations, Carter. Moving on to our next item is BP6145 Co-Curricular and Interscholastic Programs Revision Second Reading. Motion.
Do we need to make a motion to put it on the table for the second reading? I'll make a motion to put BP6145 Co-Curricular and Interscholastic Programs Revision second reading on the table for second reading.
This is Carla. I'll second it.
I have a motion by Rhett, seconded by Carla, to put the BP6145 Co-Curricular and Interscholastic Programs Revision on the floor for second reading.
Did you say roll call?
Do we need one, or do we?
No, if there's no objection, you can move on to.
Is there any discussion or on the second reading? Hearing none, I would like to entertain a motion to approve P6145 Co-Curricular and Interscholastic Programs Revision.
This is Rita. I'd like to make a motion to approve it.
Okay.
We had discussion, though.
A motion by Rivas to approve the VP that comes forth.
Is this Hillary? I'll second.
Second by Hillary. Thank you, Hillary. Roll call, please, Dave.
Okay. Rita?
Yes.
Carlene Hoblett?
Yes.
Hillary?
Yes.
Carla?
Yes.
Rhett?
Yes.
Arlene Wilson?
Yes.
Jackie?
Yes. Okay. 4-5 co-curricular program. Next item is VP 4142. Make a motion to put VP 5141.42 professional boundaries of staff with students, second reading, on the floor.
I'll second it.
Seconded by Reyes for EP514142 professional boundaries with staff. Second reading on the floor. Do we have any objections or discussion?
I'll make a motion to approve BP 5141.42 professional boundaries of staff with students.
I'll second that. This is our
main.
Motion was made by Grant and seconded by Arlene to approve BP 5141.42 professional boundaries of staff. Can I get a roll call, please?
Yes.
Jackie, can I reword? I'll make a motion to adopt BP 5142.42 professional boundaries of staff with students.
Motion to adopt professional boundaries of staff with students by Rhett. Yes, I second that. By Arlene. Can I get a roll call, please?
Yes. Hillary?
Yes.
Arlene Wilson?
Yes.
Rhett?
Yes.
Carla?
Yes.
Rita?
Yes.
Carlene Hoblett?
Yes.
Jackie?
Yes. Motion carries. BP 5141 is adopted. Moving on to the English Language Arts curriculum update.
And this is Amanda Vixen in Sandpoint. So I headed up both the ELA and social studies teams over the summer. I shared all those documents with the board members today, so you should have them in email. The ELA we had to split into two different documents, so if you're looking for it, there's a K-6 document and a 7-12 document because it got quite lengthy. We used Alaska State Anchor Standards and Objectives as our guidelines. We kept them as written from the Alaska State Standards. We didn't change any of them or alter any of them. We didn't link it directly to our materials because materials change, standards don't. So you'll see that we put on there the current textbook that we're using, but when that changes, it's a simple fix to move. As far as the ELA cultural connections that we currently have, At the end of each document, we made a list of books, picture books or chapter books that you could use across standards, because reading standards are pretty much the same. They just grow. So we didn't want to link one specific book to one specific grade level. We wanted teachers to have options. As far as the social studies document goes, we had a jumping off point that was currently that was previously written by a couple of our staff members here in Sandpoint at another time earlier prior to me. So we used that as our jumping off. We again kept our Alaska content standards for social studies. We also wrote suggested activities for each grade level and each area of the social studies curriculum, as well as cultural connections that we as a team could come up with and discuss and thought were sufficient. However, I had not heard that, I had not been told that we should connect with our local tribe to get them to add to it, so we would absolutely love for the QTT to look at the documents and have conversations with us and things we could add or change.
Can I have a question? Madam Chair, may I ask a question?
Yes, you may.
I mean, it wasn't that QTT wanted to be involved. I know we have a number of tribes in the region, and I know when we in previous board meetings had talked about involving the tribes, and I had volunteered in a number of the previous board meetings to send a representative up. And, I mean, it's not just local resources. There are things about, like I'm curious, we don't have the link to whatever was shared with board members today, so I don't know what was included. But when it comes to, like, social studies, are we talking about a history of indigenous people? I mean, I know we talk about Alaska Native history, or we used to in curriculum. I haven't seen what's being proposed. But the more we move on, like decolonizing our education for our students and looking at incorporating a more accurate reflection of indigenous people in our social studies curriculum, like, for instance, I never knew about the history of slavery and indigenous people when I was getting going through my education in public schools, and I think it's appropriate for that to be included in part of our standards and curriculum, I guess. So, I volunteer. We have people that could speak on this, but I also recognize there are two tribes in King Cove, two more tribes in Sandpoint. We have the Akitan, Falls Pass, Nelson Lagoon, a number of tribes, if they're willing to participate, I think should at least be able to, and that kind of gets back to that other question about Indian policies and procedures that I had before, but that's a whole other conversation. So not a question, I guess more of a statement that I would hope would be available, and my question being, when would the public be able to access what was shared today to see what we included standard-wise?
Can I ask a question here about this? In terms of the composition of the committee, was there an effort to include those Alaska Natives on the committee?
Yes, we did have Alaska Natives on the committee.
Okay. Because I don't know what the composition was.
We had a long list of us here in Sandpoint. Myself, Ms. McMillan, Mr. Barker, Ms. Schaefer, Ms. Clark, and then we had Lynette Mack and Jacqueline from King Cove.
Okay.
Originally she was on the social studies, but then we got the principal. But we did have input from Ingrid throughout our meeting.
And I don't believe that Jacqueline.
I have a question.
They were available through all of ELA and social studies. They met with us. We either met via phone or VTC when it was working.
I thought it happened during college campus.
one of them happened during culture camp. Or something.
Yeah, that was math and science wrap up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I have a question. This is Annette Nakatan.
Yes, ma'am.
Is the Social Studies Committee looking into Alaska Studies curriculum as well? Do you know if the state is, you know, done any more on that, or are we just using local materials at this point still?
Yeah, there's not been anything. I know our sixth grade teacher here does use a few things through the UAA, but she's having to supplement a lot with her own creativity for the Alaska Studies.
Okay,
I'm
not sure we have quorum. Adoption of the agenda. Any changes or corrections to the agenda? Who just joined us?
Hold day.
Okay. So, Angela?
Yeah, Kurt Meyer here.
Okay. There was two beeps. Somebody else join also?
This is Samantha. Welcome again.
Warren and King Cole here.
Okay, so the agenda will stand as written.
Yeah, ended. Amended. Yeah. Oh, okay, I missed that.
So you want to amend it, you said?
Well, I thought somebody did.
No.
How about I'll just make a motion? That'd be okay with an order, Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I move we adopt the agenda that's before us with the two minor changes under item 7, resolution under the consent agenda, resolution 2016, change the fiscal year from 2018 to 2019, and under item 10, resolutions. Renumber resolution 20-14 and change it to resolution
20-22. Okay. No objections? Hearing none. Then they'll stand as corrected. That'll be a good time if anybody feels like they have a conflict of interest or anything on the agenda. Okay. Community role.
Brenda, I don't know if I'd be in conflict with resolutions discussing East Aleutian Tribes and Cold Bay Clinic since I work for East.
Say again why you thought maybe you might have a conflict of interest?
Because I'm employed by East Aleutian Tribes.
Oh, no. I don't
okay.
think that's a conflict there. It doesn't affect your pocketbook and I'll think of anyway. So, communities, King Cole.
King Cole, we have Chris, Warren, Brenda, and myself.
Okay. Nelson Lagoon. I don't think they're on. Right?
Just me.
Oh, right, Sam. Sir. Okay. False pass. Akitan? Obey?
Just myself, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Anchorage?
Yes, Mayor, I'm back to myself, Annie Bailey. We have Charlotte Levy, Mary Teshi, Ernie Weiss, Laura Tannis, Glenora Dushkin, Amber Yusufovich, and Jordan Keeler.
Okay, thank you. And in Sandpoint, we have Tina, Michelle, Paul Grenell, Ingrid, Carol, Emil. That's it. Okay. Do we have any public that would like to make comments at this time?
Before you, you have minutes of August 8th. Have any changes or additions, corrections to the minutes?
Just that one that we talked about in the workshop, that from changing the hovercraft site in Cold Bay to the hovercraft, the old hovercraft site in King Cove.
Correct. Thank you for that. Catching that. Okay. If there's no objections, that will be changed in the minutes. There's no other changes. No objections. Minutes will stand as corrected. Second in that direction. Minutes.
Second.
And there was no objections. Okay. Financial report. Annie.
Yes, Mayor Auerspach and Assembly, before you are the July 2019 and the August 2019 financials. As I mentioned in the work session, the July financials reflect all the changes that were approved, or reflects the FY20 budget that was approved in May. I do not have any comments on that. It's tracking along like it's supposed to. And then also the August 2019 financials are in here for your review. And just to point out that on the very first page under revenues for raw fish tax, we did receive the July fish tax revenue, which is reflected in our August financials. That was discussed earlier today. So other than that, I don't have anything else, but if you have any questions, please let Roxanne or I know.
Okay. Thank you, Annie. Anybody have questions on either July or August? Hearing none. And the we need a motion and a second to accept the July and August.
So move. I'll make a motion to accept the July and August financials.
Second.
This is Brenda. I'll second.
So we have a motion by Carol, seconded by Ingrid. So is there any other discussion on the motion? Question on the financials?
Warren?
Yes.
Ingrid?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion carries.
Okay. Thank you. Just a side note, Annie, you might want to get in contact with Tina later. She wants flashcards or something. I think it has something to do with me. Anyway, so you have the July investment reports back for your review. And Annie, did you have anything on the investment report?
No, nothing else to add. Nope.
Questions on it, Paul?
Just because it's a little later this month than last month, do we have a new one yet available?
Mayor Speck and Assembly, no, I do not receive those until probably next week. I'll get the next month.
Okay, thanks. Okay, any other comments? Hearing none. We need a motion to accept the consent agenda.
I'd move to accept the consent.
Does Chris, I make a motion or second if somebody ought to make first?
Okay, Chris, second. So, Annie, would you walk through these?
Yes, Mayor Auerspach. So I'll start with Resolution 2015, which is authorizing the mayor or designee to negotiate and execute an agreement for managed information technology services with ICE Services, Inc. for an amount not to exceed $30,000. ICE, we hired them last year. Their current contract term ends on September 19th.
This will extend it for an additional year. The second year cost estimate is $26,690, and we do share these IT costs with the City of Cape Cove Anchorage office, and so our portion of this is estimated to be approximately $22,490. Any questions on that? Okay. Next resolution is Resolution 2016, authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute a services agreement with BDO USA LLP to provide professional auditing services to the Aleutians East Borough for fiscal year 2019 in an amount not to exceed $68,250. BDO are our auditors. They recently completed our FY18 audit. We are anticipating to start our FY19 audit here in October. This would authorize us to negotiate a contract with them with a base bid for the FY19 audit work at $58,250 and then an additional $10,000 for travel expenses, out-of-pocket costs, and any unexpected work that needs to be done. So administration recommends the approval of this resolution. Any questions on that? Okay, Resolution 2019 authorizes the mayor to negotiate and execute a deed of easement with the City of Accutan for a portion of Lot 1A, Accutan School Subdivision, at less than fair market value. The borough owns Lot 1A, which contains approximately 1.8 acres in Accutan. The city is in the process of designing a tsunami shelter and community center on land near this location. The city is requesting an easement for approximately 4,004 square feet of the borough's property, enabling the city to create and maintain an access trail that would connect through other parcels of land and allow the public to safely and efficiently access the facility. Since this is government to government, this can be accomplished via resolution, and it's also in our code that the transfer from government to government may be of less than fair market value. Any questions on that? Okay, the next resolutions, 2020 and 2021, are in relation to the October 1st, 2019 regular borough election. 2020 is appointing election judges for the October 1, 2019 regular borough election. And then 2021 is appointing the canvas committee for the October 1, 2019 borough regular borough election, and this is something that we do on an annual basis and needs to be done prior to the election. Are there any questions on those? Okay, with that, okay. That's everything. Mayor Ostervak on the consent agenda.
Okay, thank you. Since there were no questions, she went to read to them. Call the question on the phone.
Ingrid.
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay.
And I'm here daily. Yes.
Oh.
Oh.
Welcome.
Thanks.
Okay, so under item 8, we have public hearings. So I'd look for a motion to bring Ordinance 21 to the floor.
I move to bring Ordinance 2001 to the floor.
Okay, second?
I'll second it.
Okay, motion by Ms. Carroll. So before us, we have Ordinance 2001 authorizing the assignment of certain real properties leased by the AEB, East ADA 07842.
Okay. Did we combine 01 and 02 together, so should the motion be for the two of them? They're separate, even though it says...
Yeah, they just...
it was easier, I think, for Annie during the workshop to explain them together because they are actually one depends on the other.
Paul? Okay.
Yeah, just a quick question. If we received any public letters or comments on these two ordinances.
Okay. Annie, you want to take that, and then you can kind of go through this.
Mayor Schrag and Assembly, we have not received any comments from anyone in writing. Okay, so a brief overview. I am going to go over, even though Ordinance 2001 is on the floor, I'm going to go over both at once. So Ordinance 2001 authorizes the assignment of certain real property leased by the borough, and then Ordinance 2002 authorizes the sale of certain real property owned by the borough. As you know, the Coal Bay School closed in the spring of 2015 and has remained unoccupied. For the past few years, we've been trying to see what we can do with this property, which is located in the Coal Bay Airport Aviation Leasing land. The borough leases the property from the state, and we own the buildings, the school that is on there. So on September 7th, 2016, the borough passed a resolution authorizing the mayor to dispose of the Coal Bay School property by negotiation with federal, state government agencies, local governments, or native tribe or councils at less than fair market value. We issued a request for interest and proposals for this and in November 2016, and we did not, or the city of Coal Bay expressed interest, but that ended up not coming to fruition. So due to that, we went out to bid our request for interest again in July 19, 2018 to federal governments and local governments again, and no submissions were received by the August 16, 2018 deadline. So after consulting with our attorneys, we issued a request for interest and proposals to private and public entities in February 2019. We did receive one response from Aleutian Services, Inc. for the facility, and they have proposed to have the use or to use the lease space as a or to maintain it as a community asset for Coal Bay as a way of community service by their corporation, allowing the gym to be used for community physical activity, promotion with the city, and also use it possibly for classroom space for homeschooled students, possible collaboration with the University of Alaska system, provide space for airline passengers during emergency landings that have regularly occurred in the past few years, provide a space for community activities that require a larger venue, expand office space for Aleutian Services business growth, and they are also proposing to utilize waste heat from their sister company, G&K, to help offset the heating costs to maintain this building. So in order to transfer the state lease from the borough to Aleutian Services, an assignment of the lease needs to occur, which is before you in Ordinance 2001, and the borough also needs to sell the building to Aleutian Services, which is outlined in Ordinance 2002. The borough is proposing to sell the building as is, where is, to Aleutian Services for $10, which is less than fair market value. Administration believes this sale will benefit the community and the borough. If the Assembly approves the ordinances, the proper documentation will be submitted to the State of Alaska Aviation Leasing Department for approval, and then the transfer should be able to occur. Also, per the request of the state, we did request an amendment to the lease to change the authorized uses from a school to the items that Aleutian Services would like to do, and we're currently in a public hearing process that will be completed on October 7th, 2019. So with that, if there's any questions.
Okay, thank you. There's no questions from the Assembly at this time.
One quick question.
Hey, Paul.
Yeah, I'm looking at the map, and the plaque, whatever it is, Exhibit A. Which way is the north arrow? I'm trying to find it.
I'm not. So the north arrow is actually pointing to the left, like upper left corner. The north arrow is in the left hand side, upper left.
I see it now. Yeah, my thing jumped every time I tried to move it. But okay, excellent. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I like looking at a map on a hat pin.
Oh.
Okay, if there's no other questions from the Assembly, I'll go ahead and at this time open the public hearing on Ordinance 20-01. Okay, hearing no public. Public hearing is closed. I'm going to call the question.
Chris?
Yes.
Brenda.
Yes.
Ingrid.
Yes.
Paul.
Yes.
Carol.
Yes.
Warren.
Yes.
Samantha.
Yes.
Haley.
Yes.
Thank you. Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. So before us, we now have Ordinance 2002 scheduled for a public hearing. Need a motion and a second to bring it on floor.
I'll make a motion to put Ordinance 20-02, the sale of real property owned by AEB Coal Bay School Building, on the floor.
I'll second it, just Chris.
Okay, thank you, Chris. Before we go into the public hearing, Annie already went through this, so are there any other comments from the public hearing? Okay, public hearing is now open on Ordinance 20-02. Okay, hearing no public comments. Question on Ordinance 2002?
Carol?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
Is it you or me?
Me? Yes.
Your question.
No.
Ingrid?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Item 9, we don't have any new ordinance before us, so item 10, resolutions. So we need a motion and a second to bring resolution 20-22 to the floor.
Move resolution 20-22, authorizing mayor to negotiate a
memorandum by Chris.
Understanding between the borough of Coal Bay and tribes.
Okay, and it was seconded by Chris. Annie?
Yes, Mayor, I'll back in assembly. Before you, Resolution 22, authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute a memorandum of understanding between the Aleutians East Borough, the City of Coal Bay, and Eastern Aleutian Tribes for the Coal Bay Clinic construction project. And I'll let Mary go ahead and explain this.
Well, so, Mayor and Assembly, as you know, the Borough, the City, and Eastern Aleutian Tribes have participated in planning and development of the Coal Bay Clinic project since 2012. Construction of the new clinic is expected to begin in 2020. The parties seek to memorialize their understanding of each party's duties and responsibilities for the project going forward. Roles and responsibilities are defined with respect to construction and ongoing operation and management of the facility following the completion of the project. I've listed here in the agenda statement general points of interest, so I'll just go over the top ones for each party. So, the borough shall plan, design, and oversee construction of the project using its own resources and contractors. We'll be developing RFPs, doing contracts for all aspects of the construction portion of this project. Each shall operate the facility as a primary health care clinic and enter into an MOA with the city for use and operation of the facility as a health clinic. And the city shall accept full ownership of the constructed improvements and complete ownership of the facility upon completion and enter into that MOA with EAT, as I mentioned. There's additional information on the MOU draft that's attached to this resolution in your packet, so feel free to look that over. And if you have any questions, please let me know. Thanks.
Thanks, Mary. Questions for Mary? Hearing none. Question on the motion.
Brenda.
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Ingrid?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. It's going to be fun watching this thing get put up this year. Resolution 20-17, authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute an agreement with Robertson, Montague, and Eastop to provide legal services to participate in litigation filed on August 7, 2019 by the trustees for Alaska against the Department of Interior in the amount not to exceed $92,750. We need a motion and a second.
I'll move to bring 2017 to the floor.
Okay. I'll second it, Chris.
Second by Ingrid. Before we have discussion, you want to go into this, Annie?
Yes, Mayor Osterbeck. In assembly before you is Resolution 2017. This is Robertson, Montague, and Eastow are requesting authority and funding to respond to the current complaint and related litigation documents filed by the trustees for Alaska to set aside the agreement for the exchange of lands between the Department of Interior and the King Cove Corporation in an amount not to exceed $92,750. The relationship would be between the borough and the contractual compliance, I guess, and funding relationship for this would be between the borough and Robertson, Montague, and Eastow, and then the legal and technical tasks conducted will represent the King Cove Whole Bay Group, which consists of the Aleutians East Borough, the King Cove Corporation, the Egdow Tribe, the Native Village of Belkoski, the City of King Cove, and the City of Cold Bay. The attorney's strategy will be to intervene exclusively through the King Cove Corporation and join the Department of Justice in defending the agreement. Current litigation status is as follows. August 7, 2019, the plaintiffs filed a complaint against the Department of Interior and Secretary Bernhardt to invalidate, vacate, and set aside the agreement, which was signed on July 12, 2019, between the Department of Interior and the King Cove Corporation. Plaintiffs also sent a 60-day notice letter under the Endangered Species Act to set up a claim under the Endangered Species Act, excuse me, later in the lawsuit. Following 60 days, on about October 6, 2019, plaintiffs are expected to file an additional ESA count to add to the complaint. As I mentioned during the work session, it's really hard to predict the overall timing of all this, but we anticipate, or the attorneys anticipate, that October 6, 2019, the federal defendants must file an answer to plaintiff's complaint. In October 2019, we would intervene in this case and support Secretary Bernhardt's action to sign our agreement. November-December 2019, DOJ must file their administrative record, and then the case moves into summary judgment based on the administrative record filed by DOJ. So the scope of work includes a couple things, which is contacting DOI, DOJ, preparing the legal documents to file a motion to intervene, drafting a summary judgment and conduct legal research, coordination with the State of Alaska Department of Law attorneys, and then there's some contingency plans or contingency funds associated there for anything that's unanticipated and for travel expenses. So the cost for these services is $92,750, and the funds for this are available in the borough's King Cove Access Project designated legislative grant that's currently in our financials. With that, if there's any questions.
Question for Adam?
This is Chris, if I could talk.
Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, I know we talked about in the workshop about possibly an executive session on this, legal things, but I think we should just move on with what we have. I think if we wait around, the price could go up, plus executive session, we're all going to have to meet somewhere, so we're talking about expenses there. It's lined out in this resolution very well as to what this resolution is going to do, what this money is going to fund, the control that we have. So I approve this resolution without any further things added to it.
Okay. Thank you. Any other comments? Paul?
Yeah. I believe in the executive session we were just talking in general terms about a possible executive session when we're in Anchorage all at the same time, so it would be no additional cost. But and if the Assembly passes it here in this meeting, the funding, we did also talk about in the workshop about how the court will be additional information available October 6th, and that information probably will be before us on an agenda item and, during the October meeting, which will be after October 6th. So and the administration is keeping track of the billing, and I'm sure we'll get an update then, too. So I know at this time I'll support the resolution. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Paul. Any other comments? Hearing none, question on Resolution 2017?
Warren.
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Ingrid?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Bailey?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So before us is Resolution 2018, authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute a contract with Mugvik Development Corporation for the Cold Bay Bracing Project at the Cold Bay Terminal, not to exceed $200,000, and authorizing appropriation of $200,000 from the AMLET account for this project. We need a motion. One second.
Move Resolution 2018.
Thank you, Ingrid. We need a second.
I'll second it.
This is Brenda. I second.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. So we have Resolution 2018 before us. Annie, do you have anything you want to add?
Yes, so as Mayor Osterbeck mentioned, Resolution 2018 is before you. As you know, the borough owns the Cold Bay Terminal, and we have the Federal Aviation Administration, FAA, who leases a portion of the second floor. FAA did conduct a facility condition assessment, and based off of that, it was determined that there was a severe concern with the observation pop-outs in the FAA control room, and that it, in general, the pop-outs do not appear to be properly braced laterally, and they experience excessive movement. So last year, in May of 2018, the borough did consult with FAA and hire Design to Last to review and analyze it, conduct a wind analysis for the pop-outs, and do a design. We went out for a request for quotes to contractors and received two responses. One was from Pogvik Development Corporation in the amount of $188,210, and the other was from SR Bale Construction in the amount of about $190,000. The cost exceeded our expectations at that time, and we decided not to pursue it with the understanding we'd have to revisit it later. Recently, we have been in contact with Dowell and asked them to revisit the project, and based off of numerous conversations, we've opted to renegotiate with Pogvik this year based on their bid from last year. So we are working with them. The quote they provided is $188,210, and we recommend allotting this about $200,000 to cover this and any project contingencies that happen. The borough has reinitiated contact with Design to Last to help answer questions as well. Since funds were not appropriated for this bracing project in FY20, the borough has determined that there's approximately $500,000 in the borough's AMLIP account that were previously invested in money market accounts and CDs that were payback appropriations for the Cold Bay Terminal project, and that there are unrestricted funds that can be used for this. So administration recommends appropriating the $200,000 from the AMLIP to cover the work
our engineering architect fees and any contingencies that may occur. Another thing is we are working with FAA very closely on this project. Since we'll be in their space, we need to coordinate with them on making sure that we have the proper escorts and authorization to be in their area. And they mentioned that they may be able to fund up to 20 to 25% of the project, about $45,000 of this. Not set in stone, but it's something we're working at where they would reimburse us for this after the project's complete. So anyway, with that, the borough recommends authorizing this resolution. If there's any questions, please let me know.
Questions for Annie? Paul?
Yeah, was this item, of course, was discussed in the workshop a little bit, but I've been in the FAA side, but I can't remember how many of these overhangs there are. If there's just a couple in the FAA side, or if in the Weather Service side there was a couple, I don't know. But it seems kind of high for some pipe, but I guess the way we do things, I guess I'm supporting this, but how many overhangs do we have?
Two
in the FAA side, and how many in the weather side?
No, two is total.
Two total. Thank you.
Any other comments? Yeah, we've gone, I and Annie have gone round and round on this, drug Abel into it. I had the same concerns that it was high, but by the time we got done with it, we couldn't find any lower bid. Kind of at that point where we need to get this done before the airlines move in, otherwise it's going to be a cluster over there. Anyhow, there's no other questions. You want to call a question on Resolution
2018?
Oh.
Yes.
Ingrid?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes, ma'am.
Warren?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Bailey?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, so we are down to item 11, new business. The quarter two Aleutians Eastboro strategic plan. I'll turn this over to Annie.
Mr. Mayor, after back in assembly, in the packet is a vision navigation chart with the updates for the quarter two strategic plan, which was June 1st through August 31st. There's a lot of changes in here, items that have been completed and moved around, which is exciting because we're actually using this and showing progress. I'm not going to go into this in great detail, but if you do have any questions, please let me know.
But all the little black lines I had to draw, I wore off two magic markers.
Well, I know over the last few years, our two main priorities have been King Cove Road and the Akatan little breakwater. And I assume under this update, we're still pushing hard to kind of complete those items, too. And they continue to be our two important items. My off base.
Correct. And the King Cove project, Access Road project, actually isn't on this list, but it is just something that we continuously do. The Coondock Breakwater is on here. There's been a few changes in the items on here and how we're moving forward, but that is still one of our main priorities moving forward.
And then, Mr. Mayor, is there action required on this?
No, this is an informational thing as to where we are at this time. And I think probably, so nobody forgets that we have a couple other. I think when we were doing these planning sessions, a couple of things came out is the assembly always voiced their opinion on half finished projects, which we have a couple of. So I think those are higher on our priority, too, and one of them is finishing the new Boat Harbor and Sandpoint, and the other one is putting that second float into the Akatan Harbor. So those are up there also. Just haven't been talked about a lot, but as the Sandpoint Harbor, we're at 100% on that one, so we just need to find money and go out to bid. I believe, Annie, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the Akatan Harvard design is also there on that one, isn't it?
Correct, yeah, it's completed. We just need the funds to finish it.
So I mean, those are, I guess, pretty cool, shovel ready. Okay. So if there's no more on quarter two, I guess we could start reports and updates. Annie?
Yes, Mayor Osbrack and Assembly. Before you use my report for this packet, a few additions. We are doing a ton on the school work. So one of the projects is Sandpoint School Painting. Kukar Construction arrived in Sandpoint in August, and they have been working extremely hard to get a lot done. So there was a really good weather window there. I anticipate by the time they finish this season, they'll probably be between 50 to 75% complete on this, which is great, and then they'll come back in the spring and finish it. But they are waiting on the windows to arrive next week in September 19th, and hopefully if there's a nice weather break, they'll install those. But a lot of the lower elevation of that facility has been sealed, and the primer's on, and a lot of the areas have been painted and completed. So they're moving extremely fast in such a short amount of time, and they've, I believe, Emil would know more than me, but I believe they've been doing a really good job, and the quality of work has been really high, and they've been a pleasure to work with, too. So just an update on that. The Akutan School, we have hired Bering Industrial to go out there and do that, along with their subcontractors. They are scheduled to arrive in Akutan today, and their equipment is scheduled to arrive tomorrow, and they'll start working on that immediately. And the work includes electrical, mechanical, and control work. So that'll start this week, which is fantastic. We're looking at a few other things. Emil has been working hard with Long and the mechanical engineer at AMC on the Sandpoint pool mechanical area. They identified a separate problem from items that occurred last year, and they're working really hard on getting that. So we're hoping to have that work started within the next week or two and getting that problem resolved. We're also looking at putting in new doors at the Sandpoint School and relocating the mechanical hardware on that. We're working on that as well. There's about 13 doors there, and then it takes a special entity to move that hardware over because it's got to be done in a particular way or it won't work. So we're working on that as well. So there's a lot going on with schools. I really want to thank Emil and Mary and Dal and Alvin for all their work on this because it's been a real big team effort to make sure we're not missing things on all this work. Colby Terminal, we have met with the airlines again on September 4th. We're extremely close to having the lease negotiation completed. Raven actually just got back to me with their comments, so we're meeting tomorrow to go over that, and I hope to have that signed within the next 2 weeks, which would be fantastic. We have started the terminal improvements in there. We've ordered airport seating. We've ordered the conveyor belt. Yesterday I ordered the ticket counter. Emil has been ordering items that he needs to do, the improvements he's doing, so we are getting that in place. And we're setting up a schedule to make sure everybody arrives when they're supposed to and the work's getting completed in order so we don't have the electrician coming out when they're not supposed to do their work. So we're working on that, and hopefully we can get that completed soon and get someone moved in a relatively quick time frame. So a lot's happened there. There's a King Cove Road update, which I've already discussed during that resolution discussion, and then I just provided a State of Alaska update, which you have seen before in a prior email, but Mark Hickey provides us, updates, and as of August 19th, there were a lot of changes that the governor did, and a lot of it was vetoing the addition of the school bond debt reimbursement funding, resulting in a reduction of school debt reimbursement funding by 50% for FY20, which affects us by taking about $328,000 out of our operating budget. It also eliminated all the
harbor bond debt reimbursement for False Pass and Accutan, and that was about another probably around $200,000-$300,000 there. So we did get impacted, but it wasn't as bad as it could have been. But we are going to keep an eye on this because it's still not set in stone because it could still change. And then we're trying to anticipate things already for FY21, like maybe him going after the shared state fisheries tax or something like that. So we're already trying to anticipate next year. A few other items. The Alaska Municipal League Annual Local Government Conference is occurring in November, so I included information in here if you're interested in going. I highly recommend the newly elected officials training for anyone that's gone already, hasn't gone already. I actually attended that last year, and I thought it was extremely helpful and something that may be of interest to the Assembly to go to. So I'll just put a plug in for that. So if there's any questions, please let me know.
Okay, thank you. Question for Annie on her report? Mary.
Thank you, Mayor Osterbach and Assembly. My report is in your packet for your review. So first, just a quick update on the clinic project. So obviously the Assembly just approved Resolution 2022 for the MOU with the City of Cold Bay and Eastern Ocean Tribes. So following this meeting, we'll work on finalizing that MOU and getting that signed, which will complete items E13 and E16 of the strategic plan, which is great. Other work for the clinic this month has included coordination with the state of Alaska and the city on updating the DOT lease for the project site. And I will be working on submitting the construction plans to the state fire marshal and completing the RFQ for project management services. So project is moving along nicely and within the schedule, so it's really exciting. And then just another small addition, I did include at the end of my report a memo outlining the changes that were implemented into the clinic design. This was at the request of an Assembly member last month, so feel free to take a look at that. I've also included the updated floor plan that implements some of the more of the structural design changes that we put into the plan. So feel free to take a look, and then if you guys have any questions either today or following the meeting, just contact me. Another one of my strategic plan projects is a Sandpoint school grant project. So following the approval of the Resolution 2013 at last month's meeting, we engaged with Dowell for their grant application services for this project. We have held a project kickoff meeting with them already. They've been in contact with the folks at CERC trying to figure out what kind of documents we either already have or what we'll need for the actual grant application itself. We do have another follow-up meeting with them next week, and at that point we'll know which path we'll take in terms of figuring out which grant application we need to submit and how much that will cost. So I will have more information on that project at next month's meeting. And then one more project that isn't on here is the False Pass Harbor House design. We do have a meeting with the city scheduled tomorrow, actually, so we'll get that moving as much as we can and hopefully get that RFP for the design itself and construction posted next week. So fingers crossed, but we do have a meeting with them tomorrow, so moving along. Any questions on projects so far? Okay, great. So other items, just really quick. I know Annie went over a lot of the projects we've been working on, but I've been helping with the school projects, terminal lease negotiations, and tenant improvements. Had a meeting with folks on the Okundaka Breakwater project, working on Fox Pass Harbor issues, and then, of course, assembly meeting prep. I did attend the AML Summer Conference in Soldotna this year. I've listed some agenda topics that were included in the meeting, so if you would like more information about what was discussed there, please let me know. And just a plug for the Opioid Misuse Task Force planning meeting. It was scheduled for October. They have rescheduled it until January, so I do plan on attending that in January. So give more updates when that occurs. Other than that's pretty much it. So if you have any questions, let me know. Thanks.
Questions for Mary? Okay. Thank you,
Jordan has a question.
Mayor Osterbach.
The opioid task force meeting, was that was supposed to be in King Cove early next month? Okay.
Yes.
All right.
And it got settled to January, end of January.
Okay, because our police chief's gone, so.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And just another comment on that, they are going to do, I believe the same time frame, I don't know the dates off the top of my head, but I believe they're going to do more of a community meeting in King Cove for that. So if anyone has any questions on that specific meeting, I think it's going to be at the same time frame. Just contact Kasia or Rachel at EAT.
Okay. Thank you. And, you know, to add to that standpoint, they did have a DEA task force out here and met. I think there were actually 10 people that came, two were pilots, so eight out of different agencies, and they were from Texas, Idaho, Washington, two out of Alaska. But anyway, during the conversations that we had, there was the Chagan tribe was there, City Sandpoint, myself, and school superintendent and principal. And they didn't have any knowledge of that meeting that was going to take place here, so they are going to be in contact, I think, with EAT, and possibly, now with it rescheduling, I don't know what their plan is, but they'll possibly also try and schedule themselves since that take part at that conference that got rescheduled. So just information. Okay. Thank you. Laura.
Thank you, Mayor Osterbach and members of the Assembly. One of the big projects that I have been working on for a while is the AEB annual report, which was mailed out to residents in our communities at the end of last month. So that was pretty exciting. It included information on a number of projects, including the Acatan Harbor, the Yacoum Dock and Breakwater, the Colbe Clinic, the terminal building in Colbe, the False Pass Harbor and Harbor House, the King Cove Access Project, the Nelson Lagoon Dock, a Sandpoint Harbor Float Design, bond service debt information, fisheries management and advocacy, as well as school building assessments and repairs. So I'd like to thank our administration as well as staff members for the contributions to this report. It contained a lot of information, and some of it took quite a bit of time to gather, so it was definitely a team effort. So thank you, everybody who helped out. I really appreciate it. Right now I'm working on the latest edition of In a Loop, which will hopefully go out at the end of the day tomorrow. It contains a number of stories. One is on the 2020 census, describing the importance of participating in that information. You may remember we had a presentation a number of months ago to the Assembly. So this just describes in a little more detail why it's so important for people to participate in this count, the number of federal dollars that come to Alaska. And so that's one story. Another one is on a recent meeting that Tiffany Jackson of Sandpoint attended that was hosted by the National School Boards Association. It was a summer leadership seminar that occurred last month, and a number of presentations about the importance of trust and strong personal leadership. Another story was on APIA's Tribal Child Support Program, and they are actually encouraging more people to apply for their program. They have a smaller caseload than the state of Alaska, so they're able to give more individualized attention. And they also have, it's a unique program because it focuses on certain aspects of the region. So it's definitely worth looking into. Another story was on the an app that APIA recently created, two apps actually, for the Nagam Tanu language. It's both for the Eastern and Atka dialect. So it's really interesting, and it's kind of interesting to have this app for a modern way of people being able to have this resource and learn more about the language. Another story is about the City of King Cove and how they're installing two new playgrounds this fall. One's going to be in the new Rams Creek subdivision, and another one will be next to the old school. The city started a fundraising campaign and received an impressive outpouring of support, and they were also selected to receive funding for the Rams Creek playground through Disney's National Recreation and Park Association. There were other major donors that included the King Cove Docket 369 Committee, the Rasmussen Foundation, and Samson Tug and Barge. There's another one that Mayor Osterbach brought to my attention that we're including in this, and we also had in Fish News. It's called the Rural Energy for America, or REAP program. They recently awarded grants to fishing vessel owners of the Bristol Bay Fleet who are planning to use the funds to upgrade their vessels with refrigerated seawater chilling systems and other energy efficiency equipment. And they were able to access this grant through a Swampseed program. So Swampseed is still offering this reduced cost energy audit for eligible businesses, so it's definitely worth looking into. And lastly, another story that we're going to have in the loop, but also ran in Fish News yesterday, has to do with the Alaska Young Fishermen Summit in Juneau, January 21 through the 23rd of 2020. The AEB is Natural Resources Department plans to sponsor two local young fishers to attend this summit. The applicants can be 18 to 35, and they will be selected for AEB-funded travel based on documented involvement in the fishing industry, along with a one-page letter of interest. So this is a great opportunity for young fishermen to apply for this if they're interested. Another project I am working on is completing the PowerPoint presentation for Mayor Osterbach for the Alaska Association of Harbor Masters, which is going to be in Juneau. I just received some information from Tuna Scanlon regarding the Akutan Harbor Power Project, so I'll have the latest details on that. I've also spoke with George Keeler about getting some recent photos.